Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. We are told the Biden administration won't change its support for Israel, even in light of the recent Rafah massacre. There are no red lines, only empty words. The international community is rallying to the Palestinian cause. Meanwhile, the U.S. stands alone in isolation. Crosstalking Palestine, I'm joined by my guest Lionel in New York. He is a legal and media analyst. In Seattle, we have Ramzi Baroud. He is a Palestinian author and journalist. And in Beirut, we cross to Esteban Carrillo Lopez. He is a news desk editor for The Cradle. All right, gentlemen, crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Lionel, let me go to you first here. John Kirby, the spokesperson for the National Security Establishment for the Biden administration, said he was offended by a question that included how many more charged babies will it take for the Biden administration to consider his policy? He's offended. Is that what the only thing to be offended about as we watch all of this unfold? How out of touch are these people? Because I was offended that he could be offended by a question that reflects right. reality. Go ahead, Lionel.
Well, I think many of us and the world are offended by charred babies and charred people. So we're on the same page if you think about this. You know, what's interesting, gentlemen, is that this past week, it occurred to me that in a conversation, you know, anybody can win an argument if nobody ever pushes back. If you have a debate and your team, your opponent, just listens, nothing will ever change. That's what's happening right now. I live, as I told you, in the fishbowl. What we are talking about right now, I guarantee you, is not known or cared about by 90% of the people in my country, and I would say Western. We use the word red line. Red line has been used to death. I think the administration said, we do not want another 30,000, another. Does that mean that short of that? When I see politicians signing autographing missiles like they did in World War II. Like,
Nikki
this
Haley.
Is for you.
Nikki Haley.
I'm thinking myself, it's me. I'm in a parallel universe because I can't believe, does anybody not realize what's happening here? There's no recourse. So I'm offended by a myriad of topics.
Yeah, Ramzi, it's really quite interesting. The Biden's peer. Well, I think it costs like $360 million. It's all broken up and it's gone ashore here. I think it's a good metaphor for his entire policy. It's broken, it was never thought out, and it's just basically based on lies and deceit. Go ahead.
Absolutely, but just one very quick thing, just commenting on what our friend Lionel had to say. You know, Lionel, I love you and I love everything you have to say, but I have to disagree with you on this one. I do think that there is a massive change happening even in the United States. Finally, finally. I know that there was a group of kids in the city of Seattle where I live at the moment who decided to do just a simple protest downtown Seattle on Instagram, and I attended it. And there were thousands of people, restaurant owners, people, tourists in the streets cheering Free, Free Palestine. I have been in this country for 25 years, in this city. For 25 years, I have never seen anything like this. So I think it's the Nikki Haley's of this world who are becoming isolated and exposed. I actually like it when she did what she did. I know it shows what a monster she is as a human being, but a lot of Americans are just pausing and asking the question, how is this okay? How is Lindsey Graham asking for a bomb to be dropped, a nuclear bomb to be dropped over Gaza, okay? So a lot of Americans are, I think, developing this, what you were talking about earlier, this new consciousness that really indicates that there is a major shift happening among ordinary Americans. And I think this is going to continue for the coming period. As for the question of Pierre, from the very beginning, we said that this is an American attempt at depriving Palestinians of the last line of defense, and that is Rafah. And that's exactly what happened. But luckily, even that little sham of theirs is not working. They're saying the weather broke it down, other things. They said one of the ships capsized or whatever. So there is some sort of a game that the Americans have played. And by the way, until now, not a single Palestinian has been fed as a result of this American project.
Yes,
not a single Palestinian. 168 trucks worth of food been taken from the pier somewhere, but they disappeared. Nobody knows what happened to the food.
This
is not going to go anywhere anyway.
Well, maybe there were Israeli protesters that spoiled it and threw it away, like we've seen so many of the videos. Okay, these are civilians that are given military protection to deny basic needs for the Palestinian people, which is against international law and it's in violation of the Genocide Convention. Esteban, you know, another big story that we had in the last few days is that Mossad was stalking and intimidating the former prosecutor of the ICC. Now, I have never been a big fan of the ICC, but this stalking and threatening a judge is mafia tactics. And basically, and again, it's my own opinion here, that we see the mafia behavior in the media, the mafia behavior in Congress. We see the mafia behavior of too many people in the Western Alliance and in Western Europe. There's a lot of mafia behavior going on here, and it's being exposed. Go ahead.
Absolutely. It's being exposed by the authorities themselves, right? Because I do want to echo what we've been saying so far, that we are at this moment seeing a complete clash between what is supposed to be international law, what is supposed to be, you know, basic human decency, and whatever the West, whatever the U.S. government spouts, whatever the Zionist institutions spout over there. And this whole thing with the ICC persecution, well, you know, Karim Khan, the prosecutor, said it himself, that an elected Western official told him that the ICC is only meant for Africa and thugs like Putin. And I think that says it all, right? We are living in a current reality in which there are laws for some and then laws for others, right? There are institutions for some and there are institutions for others. And even with this whole ridiculous thing with the Gaza pier, right? There's absolutely no sense in opening up something like that, in spending $320 million when there are seven perfectly good operating land crossings into Gaza that could allow hundreds of trucks to enter every single day what is exactly needed. But the United States doesn't want to see that, right? They want to help Israel maintain permanent control of Gaza, and that extends to the political persecution that the ICC judges, and I'm pretty sure soon enough the ICJ judges are going to be facing. Because why? Because they dare ask the question that is in all of our minds, which is, are the U.S. and Israel above international law?
That's the question that is being asked right now. Lionel, you know, I still call it Twitter, a new hashtag that's trending is Never Biden. And of course, it's because of his policy, primarily his policy on Palestine within his own party, people that are saying he's not doing enough and there are others saying he's doing too much. OK, I mean, what irony. And for someone that has been very high in the lobby's donations, Biden is reaping what he sows. Go ahead, Lionel.
I must go back and I say that, please, dear God or whoever, I hope I'm wrong. There is a blood-brain barrier that sometimes I have to remember that what we think, gentlemen, are not necessarily what everybody thinks. Yes, there are pockets. I don't want to belabor the point. There are pockets, and I think more so, dare I say, Piers Morgan.
There you go.
If this means anything, you know, like LBJ supposedly said, you know, when you've lost Piers Morgan, you've lost Middle America. But there is something, and I came across this on X or Twitter, and I'm with you, Peter. I even still use album, so that's my particular frame of reference. But there are pictures that are, when you talk about incinerated babies, they show them. And if I could somehow whatever this barrier is, to let the American people know what we're talking about, if they saw this, like they did during the period of Vietnam, when they said, do you mean that's what's been going on? It would change everything, because there is a stranglehold on information right now more than ever. And they are hoping beyond hope that people do not see the reality of this. And one more thing. Isn't it interesting? Talk about contradictions. We want international courts if it applies to Putin, but not if it applies to us. And then we say the incredible technological facility of Israel. However, how many times have they said, oops, my bad, made a mistake, sorry, Jose Andres, sorry, war is hell, the fog of war, what's it going to be? And people oftentimes just nod and say, well, whatever, as they move on to the next story. I hope that's coming to an end.
Well, Ramsey, if you look at the genocide conventions, Biden, Blinken, Sullivan, all the rest of them, they're toadies in Europe. They're culpable under the same convention. And I think they're beginning to realize that because, I'm not a big booster of the ICC, but the ICC is moving. We have the International Criminal Court there that's also proceeding. This is serious business. And I think people in the West, leaders in the West, are beginning to realize that they could get caught up into this web. Ramsey.
I think what Karim Khan has done took everyone by surprise, honestly.
Yep. Yep.
Because, 54 people were indicted by or arrest warrants were issued for 54 people worldwide since the court has started. 40 of them are Africans. The vast majority of them are from the global south. So this is a first. And this is why they were taken by surprise. That said, the ICC should have moved much earlier, considering the panic that decision was created. Karim Khan knows exactly what's happening in Gaza. He came to the Rafah border. He saw what's going on the other side. He knows exactly what happened. It's belated, but it's better late than never. But the question is, are the Americans actually complicit or are they directly involved? From the very beginning, I've made the argument that the Americans are directly involved. You can't give this much money.
That's right.
You cannot sustain this war from the very start and provide every political, every legal, every moral justification for Israel to do what it's doing. And now you are present in Gaza. The Delta Force has been in and out of Gaza. The pier means that the Americans are in Gaza. They are within the Netzarim area, which is controlled by Israel in Gaza. The American drones are flying all over Gaza.
Hold that thought, my friend. We have to go to a hard break. And after that hard break, we'll continue our discussion on Palestine. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're discussing Palestine. Let's go back to Esteban in Beirut. This one phrase gives me hope and it gives me a sense of dread at the same time. And it's the two-state solution, which, that's the fallback position that everyone talks about in mainstream Western media, corporate media here. But of course, we know that the current Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, has been emphatic that Israel will never support that. Biden's minions come out and say that is the goal and all that. And it doesn't take a whole lot to see, well, what kind of farce are we going through here if the administration that is funding and giving diplomatic support for this genocide it can't get its way, then what kind of legal protections do the Biden administration have when pursuing its policies? Because obviously it's not going to work if its partner is unwilling to do this. Go ahead in Beirut.
Well, exactly. Israel themselves have been the first to say we will never approve of a two-state solution because, first of all, the two-state solution would have to include the West Bank, the occupied West Bank, and East Jerusalem as the Palestinian capital. Let's not forget that the U.S. in 2020, I believe, recognized East Jerusalem as the Israeli capital. So they would have to backtrack on that. And then all of a sudden, the Israel would have to clear out all of these hundreds of West Bank settlements that are just chock full of extremist settler groups that are used to just, burn down Palestinian villages, shoot at Palestinians, kill them with complete impunity. So first of all, starting over there, that's simply not going to happen. It's a pipe dream, and it's a ridiculous a statement that keeps being repeated by European leaders, by the U.S., as if it's something that would actually resolve the problem, right? They keep talking about a reformed Palestinian Authority. What does that even mean? And how can the Palestinian Authority, which Palestinians themselves do not trust, do not consider to have any legitimacy, how can they be the ones leading any Palestinian government, right? It needs to be an actual, if they wanted there to be a Palestinian state, it needs to be, first of all, independent, and it needs to be led by all Palestinians, not just by the ones that are willing to work alongside Israel. So that's simply not the way out of this. The way out of this is for Israel for the Israeli, for the Zionist project to be undone, for these to be undone, for Palestine to regain all of its territory. And then, you know, all of the Israeli citizens who want to remain there can remain there, right? They will have all of the protections living alongside the same rights as the Palestinians.
Esteban, there's even a simpler solution. They can apply for Palestinian citizenship, okay? That's one way to do that, okay? I don't understand why for 75 years it's been accepted that Palestinians must become Zionists. Well, why can't some Jews become Palestinian citizens, okay? It works both ways, okay? You know, Lionel, as we go towards the election, and I already talked about the Never Biden movement. It's very interesting. I mean, I agree with you. This whole story is a controlled burn. Sorry for the metaphor here about how Americans are supposed to consume this. But fewer and fewer people watch cable TV. I don't watch it anymore. It's a waste of time. Okay, there are so many other good sources of information out there. And you brought up Piers Morgan. Well, Piers Morgan just shows the farce of this duplicity. He does it for us, okay? Because he's not very smart, and he just looks at headlines and he throws it. Well, he's not, okay? I mean, he's a tabloid guy. That's what he is, all right? But he brings on some pretty interesting people, and they just shove it back into his face, and he really doesn't know what to do about it. Go ahead, Lionel.
Well, a couple of things here. Harkening back, gentlemen, to 9/11, there's one thing I've learned, and I can only speak about the fishbowl. We don't want to hear a lot of specifics about names and who is it, Palestinian Authority, or Hamas, or the Gaza. We don't want to hear about this. Give us something like terrorism, Al-Qaeda. That's it. That'll do it. Now we just say Hamas. And what somebody will say is, we don't care where Hamas is. Now, what does that mean? That means that if there is one hint, if two Hamas leaders are perhaps kibitzing in a tent somewhere, wherever they are, that gives us carte blanche to eliminate them. Now, that it sounds specious, but to most people, you mentioned Nikki Haley, okay, that sounds good enough, because we have to undo this as though it is a place, as though it is a thing, as though there is a headquarters with uniforms and chevrons and a general and a leader. Somebody said one time years ago that fighting terrorism is like trying to catch smoke with your hands. Sounds great. But as long as these terms are used, and as long as, I'm sorry, but as long as the wrong people don't understand that there are human beings involved in this, this will continue. But I've never felt more hopeful than I do right now that something's going to change for the better.
You're absolutely right, Lionel. Let me go to Ramsey right now. They can use all of the labels they want, but when you see a disfigured child, a charred baby, all of those labels go out the window, because any decent human being is horrified by it. And what makes it more horrible is that it can be stopped, okay? It can be stopped. Go ahead, Ramsey.
We are at the cusp of a historic moment. Not only because of the change that is happening regarding the perception of Palestine, not because of the way that even ordinary people now saying Palestinians have the right to resist and to defend themselves. I've never thought that moment was even possible in my lifetime. But something else is also happening. We are challenging mainstream media. It used to be something that we did in theory. We used to talk about it as an academic possibility. But now mainstream media is being sidelined.
Yep.
In favor of a different type of media, whether social media, independent media, people communicating in the streets and in emails and news lists and every other way, we have actually managed to change the global consciousness around Palestine using a completely different medium of communication aside from that very tightly controlled mainstream corporate media. And I don't think that they will be able to reverse this, because it's a whole different apparatus that's been at work for years and years and years. And I think it's going to pay off. It is already paying off in regarding Gaza and Palestine.
I think it's only going to accelerate, okay? Because the genocide is actually just another issue that so many people feel marginalized because of neoliberalism. And this has given a younger generation something to break the shackles. I mean, they lie about this, then they probably are lying about just about everything else, which of course they are. Esteban in Beirut, as we all know, that Spain, Norway, and Ireland recently recognized Palestine as a state. A little late, you know, but better late than never. I mean, 140 other countries that were ahead of them. But of course, these are American satellites, so this is important too. But the Israeli President Katz turned around and basically said, these are anti-Semitic countries. How does that work anymore? I ask this question often in this program. Being accused of anti-Semitism, yeah, that's a pretty nasty thing to be accused of, but of course, it is bandied about without any real meaning. It's just a slur. Go ahead.
It's 100%, you know, used without any meaning at this point, but sadly, we are seeing that even now in U.S. law, it's being enshrined as anti-Semitism is also criticism of Israel, right? Now you cannot criticize Israel because all of a sudden you're an anti-Semite, right? You can criticize the U.S. government all you like, but you don't dare be criticizing Israel. And I think this is really, you know, like we are reaching a point in history that there's no turnaround, there's no way back, there's no putting the genie back in the bottle anymore. Right. And I think, you know, when it is all thanks to, the fact that we are currently connected all the time, right? We are seeing it live, these massacres. We're seeing live these attacks on our phones. We do not need CNN. We do not need Fox News. We do not need any news network to tell us what is happening. We can see it ourselves. And I think that has been the game changer, right? The democratization of information. And of course, there's always going to be attempts to silence it, like calling anyone who dares criticize Israel an anti-Semite, but that simply doesn't have the weight it used to have anymore. I would imagine in the West, maybe a bit more, right? People whose employers may be willing to fire someone for being an anti-Semite. But other than that, it's just, you know, empty talk at this point. It's empty rhetoric. And it's sadly, even the Jewish population of the West is realizing that these Western governments are using their Jewishness, right? The fact that they're Jews, to justify a genocide, to justify a war machine, to justify the mass murder of children. And of course, they don't want that. Why would you want that? Why would you want your identity to be tied to genocide?
You know, Lionel, you know, over the years, you and I have made light of the younger generation with some of their attitudes and lifestyles, et cetera, et cetera. But they're godsent, this younger generation of folks. And, you know, and thank goodness for young American Jews. They're showing the side of Judaism that is real and not the Zionist crime that the Zionists want to wrap them all into under one umbrella. And they're telling us that is not true. And I think that is a huge change for consciousness. And American Jews have stood up for the right thing. And I'm very proud of them. Go ahead, Lionel.
You know, do you remember a while back when everybody mentioned Saul Alinsky? All of a sudden, overnight, everyone's like, that's a typical Saul Alinsky movie. Go, who the hell is Saul Alinsky? Well, anyway, he became the patriarch of all things leftist. Well, I want to be the Saul Alinsky. And here's my number one rule. If you are an anti-Semite, if you are a racist, pray as much as you can that they use the word racism and anti-Semitism to the point where it gets such mental fatigue that it becomes meaningless. Yep. And then you can move in. It's like reducing resistance to bacteria with antibiotics. The word means nothing. So if there ever is true anti-Semitism, if there is racism, they're going to say, oh, are you doing that again? It goes, no, I mean it this time. It's cry wolf. Lastly, did you notice how Harvard University for the first time this week said, we're not going to be involved in any kind of matters of concern. So what? And your friends, wait a minute, you what? Yes, we figured a way around this. We hereby are going to pull back and not be involved because you've got donors, you've got students, and the students aren't budging at all. They're having diplomas diplomas withheld or risk of such. The young people, I'm with you, Peter. This is the spirit of the 60s. They love it. And the more you push against them, the more they fight back, which makes me
Lionel, you know what's really interesting is that this is a moral cause, okay? We're not talking about artichokes or inflation. We're talking about, because when I watch all this, I'm losing my own humanity. And the program I have here at Crosstalk is a way for me to say, It's all look at this and with honesty and not lose our humanity. And I think that's what's most important. Gentlemen, so much to discuss, but so little time. I want to thank my guests in New York, Seattle, and in Beirut. And of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. And remember, crosstalk rules.